This is the Cane's Corner Podcast with host Adam Gold, part of the Capital Broadcasting Podcast Network. Now here's the host of the Cane's Corner Podcast, Adam Gold.
5-0-0 sure seems like a long time ago, doesn't it? Let's all take a moment. Remember the good times. Power play goals galore. Dougie Hamilton and Eric Halla grand moments. Third period comebacks. Overtime heroics. Ah, the good old days. Okay, now it's time to snap everybody back to reality. Remember when Rod Brindamore, the very frustrated head coach of the Hurricanes, said he was thrilled that they were winning games without playing the game he wanted them to play? They weren't playing very well, according to Rod. Remember how so many people brushed it off as Rod being Rod? Well, 17 games in, more than one-fifth of the season, and the Hurricanes have played very few full games to their identity. Remember also, I wrote about this, I don't know, a couple of weeks ago, maybe longer. It's been a while. This team probably can't play to last year's identity. Personnel's different. The makeup of the team is different. I mean, it's a speed and skill team. Now, the personnel is just very, very different. The mindset of the team is very, very different. There's no Williams, no Ferlin, no DeHaan, no Falk, no Sacco, no McKeag on the roster. And I'm saying they're a worse team. That's not the point. It's the makeup of the team is different. And for the last month, and likely a couple more weeks at least, no Martinook. We'll talk more about him a little bit later on with Alec Campbell. Suddenly, 9-7-1, that's the reality of this team. Four straight losses, a team that is no longer among the playoff clubs in the Eastern Conference. If you want to go deeper, I don't believe in these four losses, none of these teams are playoff teams. New Jersey, Philadelphia, the Rangers, and Ottawa. I mean, at least not at this point. I mean, they may be. I mean, I think New Jersey, Philadelphia, and the Rangers all have enough talent to push for a playoff spot. Whether or not they get goaltending or anything like that remains to be seen. But, I mean, I think they're all talented teams that, pose problems one way or the other. But right now, it's a 9-7-1 team, and the 4-1 loss in Ottawa showed more bad signs that keep cropping up. Poor coverage in front of their own goal. Poor decisions in the neutral zone. Mental mistakes this team can't afford to make. But if you go back over this four-game stretch, how about the goals allowed late in the period, early in the following period? The Ranger game stands out for that. A goal after dominating the first period, a goal allowed with 27 seconds left. Artemi Panarin's goal, 27 seconds left in the period. Brandon Lemieux scores a goal with just under 2 minutes left in the second period. I guess they changed the goal to Heidel, although it was Pavel Buchnevich's play from the corner. That goal came early in the third. I mean, these are the things that kill you, and these are the things that are plaguing this team right now. Early on, goals were flowing, game more wide open. Now, goals are fewer, and the Canes have essentially played the same way. That's a problem. All right, let's get to the Stormwatch and Aftermath host, also does intermissions, my friend Alec Campbell. All right, sir. Quick thoughts on what went wrong last night at whatever they're calling it, the Canadian Tire Center in Ottawa last night.
Yeah, so for me, I think if you boil it down, there are some glaring defensive issues, I think, that really have been there since the beginning of the season, but it was just a situation where they got away with them early in the season.
Right.
And I think they've been there really all season long. There have been a couple of games where they've been buttoned up. But for the most part, the thing that I'm noticing and the thing that I talked a lot of with John Forslund about after the game was just the style that they're playing, where they have such aggressive defensemen. And they get caught in odd man situations a lot. And I'm not sure why that's necessarily, I mean, I understand why that's the case, because, you know, it can be easy for other teams, if they turn you over, to get out on a break when you've got everybody playing up so far. But my problem with it is just that it feels like that's a surprise to this team. like they should know that if they're going to do that, that there's a possibility that that's the case. And they should have, I think, at least some better ways of defending that when it does happen. You know, also, I think a recurring theme, and it ties in here, and you and I have talked about it a ton, is just the puck management aspect of their game. Uh-huh. Because, you know, again, if you're going to do that, then you gotta take care of the puck better, because it just becomes too easy for other teams to turn, you know, to get you, you know, caught out of position and get out on a rush and an odd man rush, you know, very quickly. So you either got to get the puck in deep and forecheck better, which they're not doing, or if they're going to carry it across the blue line and through the neutral zone, they got to be more careful with the puck. Otherwise, they're going to find themselves in these situations. And it's, you know, the one of the other effects of it is now this backup goaltender situation, which, you know, there may be some things in motion with that, because James Reimer hasn't played necessarily very well in the couple of times that he's played his last two starts. So one against New Jersey and then this one last night. And I'm not saying that everything was on James Reimer, because anytime you're having to, you know, thwart opportunities off odd man rushes all night long, you know, it's not going to be all on your, it's not going to be all your fault. But he didn't necessarily help himself either. And so now I wonder where they go from here with the backup goaltender situation. If, you know, maybe they give him another start and see what happens, or, you know, what happens. But, you know, they got to clean up their puck management and their defensive play, and try not to give up so many odd man rushes.
All right, let's go over the goals, and we'll get to Reimer in a second. The first goal, which is a 2-on-1, which started with, I know the line change wasn't great, but I don't think the line change really led to the goal. Joel Edmondson at center ice,
right.
Like, you could see
way too far.
Not only way too far, but you could see he was making a move up ice and he was sort of flat footed. Right. And then he doesn't have the foot speed to recover from that. And a bad rebound. But a 2-on-1, I mean, teams are going to score 2-on-1, but it was a rebound goal, 2-on-1. Then you get two goals in 4 seconds. And I think both goals, to me, illustrate the problems with this team defensively. And I wonder if you and John talked about this. The first goal, a Namestnikov deflection. But, I mean, I saw earlier in the game where Teuvo Teravainen on defense tied a man up around the goal. You know, he got his stick on the other guy's stick, and it thwarted an opportunity. Jake Gardner is right with Namestnikov and doing nothing, just standing there. And he wasn't even in good position. He was behind Namestnikov. So at some point you have to be, you had good coverage, but you just didn't do anything with it. And then the goal 4 seconds later, I mean, Dougie Hamilton just misplayed the puck, and Pageau was way too fast. And that maybe that's a case where Reimer goes down too early and leaves the entire upper part of the goal, which happened a couple in his last start. But I mean, Pageau is all alone, and then just whistled one right past him, and two goals in 4 seconds. I mean, I wonder how many teams have ever lost a game when they score two goals in within 4 seconds of each other.
Yeah, that was pretty wild. You know, I didn't know what the shortest distance between two goals was, but apparently Ottawa became like the 10th team in NHL history to score two goals within a span of 4 seconds. There have actually been faster ones.
Right.
Last year, Montreal scored, I think, a couple of empty netter goals based on the timing. when I was looking it up.
Okay.
In 2 seconds, they scored two goals, which is wild. But yeah, I mean, listen, like I've been having this conversation with Jake Gardner about Jake Gardner with a couple of people recently, because he's just, man, like I've never been on skates. Right.
Right.
But he's such a clunky skater, number one. And I kind of, the way I kind of feel about him is that if you're not going to score goals, then it's tough to, like, we always knew that he wasn't going to be a great defensive player. Right. His contribution on the team is to, you know, put pucks in nets, more often. And he hasn't done that. And so all that does is magnify all of his bad skating and defensive issues. So that's kind of where I am on him. I also wonder about him as a fit in the locker room. I don't know. I might just be projecting these types of things because it's been a bad slide.
Right.
But I get kind of a weird feeling about this mix of players, and I have for the entirety of the season. And I don't know if that's something that can be fixed, you know, with Justin Williams in the locker room or not. But either way, he's not putting the puck in the net enough to, you know, take away the problems that he's having defensively.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's been a mess lately. The giveaway on the goal that trying to remember which one it was, the Heidel goal. Now it really Pavel Buchnevich's play against the Rangers.
Yeah.
I guess they have gone back, I believe, and given the goal to Heidel. But Gardner's was the initial giveaway to Buchnevich.
Right.
And then Gardner didn't do anything about it. He just skated around in a circle. You could argue that he and Aho, and we'll get to Aho in a second here. You can argue that he and Aho had miscommunication. You got him, I got him, or you got him, I don't got him. Stuff, you know, basically. Both of them are culpable on Buchnevich getting a free pass right to the front of the net. But
I mean, Hedel went to the net immediately and took a defenseman with him, or took somebody with him.
It was Pesci, I think.
And then no one stepped up. I mean, I wonder if Peter could have been a little bit more aggressive with the stick on that play, because Pageau kind of went around him, or not Pageau, Buchnevich went kind of to the other side of the net almost.
He did.
But yeah, I mean, I don't know what that is. I don't know what kind of system, like who's supposed to pick up Buchnevich.
It was once, one of them.
Somebody's got to do something. I mean, you can't just stand there and watch, right?
Exactly. And that's what's happened a lot lately. So in this 4-game slide, and by the way, none of these four teams right now are playoff teams, although I think the Devils and the Flyers and the Rangers have enough talent to push for a spot if certain things clear up with the Devils, if their goaltending gets better. The Rangers are incredibly young. I think Philadelphia, if Carter Hart plays well, and we saw him play well in the loss in Philly, then I think Philadelphia has enough talent to push for a spot. Regardless, none of those teams are playoff teams right now, and the Hurricanes dropped all four games and gave up 17 goals in the process. But in this 4-game stretch, Aho has a goal and is a -9. Gardner has an assist and is a -4. Hamilton has a goal and is a -5. Now, the score is 17-7, but to give up 17 goals in four games... Yeah. And I think one of those is an empty net goal. Only the Adam Fox goal is an empty net goal. If I'm missing, maybe there's another empty net goal. I mean, that's just, that's not what this team is about, but right now that's what they are.
Well, the only loss they have this year where they haven't given up four goals is the first Columbus loss, where it was 3-2.
Right.
So, you know, that anytime you're giving up four goals in a game, that's a bad sign.
Yeah.
And, you know, early on, I thought that was a thing the Hurricanes might be able to hang with teams who do that. Like, this looked like a team that was going to be able to score with people.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I think they're missing Eric Halla big time.
Sure.
And, you know, one of the things that's kind of glaring here is that Halla having missed three games now, still leads the team in goals. So he hasn't even played, and no one from a forward group perspective can catch him in terms of goals. And, you know, it's not like there are people that are way behind him. I think Aho has 6 goals on the year. You know, Svechnikov has 7, although he's been pretty good. Like, he's been one of the most steady players, I think, so far this season. How about Jordan Staal? I mean, Jordan Staal has now gone six games without a point. He's, I think, 13 of the 17 games they've played, he has no point.
Yeah.
That is astounding to me.
Yeah, he's
not even an assist.
Right. He needs to be productive, even though he gets graded on doing other things. He needs to be productive. Look, he took a penalty 9 seconds in. And it's not even the goals that Ottawa scored last night. I mean, they gave up a chance 9 seconds in. Staal ends up in the box. It takes a really good Brett Pesce play to really nullify a chance. Reimer did make a couple of really big saves early on mistakes that Carolina had. Before we wrap up, you mentioned I think they do miss Eric Halla. They miss him in different situations. I think they miss him killing penalties. They miss him on the power play. They miss him with the chemistry of that line with Dzingel and Martin Natchez. I think they miss Jordan Martinook more. I think Jordan Martinook is this team's, right now, he's the identity of this team, of the way Rod Brind'Amour wants them to play. And without him in the lineup, I think that's even a bigger, a bigger missing piece to what this team is about.
Yeah, it could be. I don't necessarily disagree with that, just because of the way he plays the game and the emotion that he brings to the game. I just think they're missing a greasy element to their game in general.
Yeah.
And Halla brings a little bit of that in terms of his ability to score around the net. I mean, we've posited that his goals probably add up to a total of about 5 feet from the net. And they're not getting any of that.
Right.
They're not getting any rebound opportunities. They're not getting anything around the net. I mean, even the goal last night they scored was a snipe from Svechnikov on the near side.
Yeah.
And that's just not going to go in that often. I mean, that was a great shot by him. But let's be honest, like, you got to get to the net and get goals that way. And Rod talked about it a couple of nights ago. You know, we're winning pretty, or we play pretty, something like that.
Yeah. Skill doesn't, we have a lot of skill. Skill doesn't win in this league.
Right. And so Martinook's a part of that. And I think Hall is a part of that. Assign, you know, whatever amount to either one of them for what's going on here. But, you know, they're at a crossroads right now. You know, it's going to be an interesting situation, because, again, going back to the mix of players in the room. And by the way, what did you make of what Jordan said last night after the game?
I think he's right. I mean, they make too many mistakes. The truth is that they've made a lot of mistakes all year long. They just scored to cover them. And look, every team's going to go through some valleys where the puck's not going in. And I do think missing Halla matters, and I think missing Martinook has caught up to them because of missing Halla. But, you know, the last couple of nights, Rod has talked about, well, our youngest players can't be our best players. He said it about Svechnikov last night. He said it, I don't know if it was about Natchez the other night. He said
it was about Wallmark, I think.
Wallmark, yeah. He can't be our, if Lucas Wallmark's our best player, that's not good. And I said this a long, long time ago about a Duke team that, you know, had Chris Caraway, and Caraway was a wonderful player, but if he was your best player, that was a problem. If Carolina's best players on a given night are not Sebastian Aho, Jordan Staal, Jacob Slavin, Dougie Hamilton, then they're going to lose. And to me, as great a start as Hamilton has had, his game the last 4, not good. Especially defensively, not good. And Aho, while I think Aho has played in stretches his best hockey over these last 4 games, I really do. I think
he's not. Not there yet, though.
It just takes the one time you don't. And I thought he was dreadful, by the way, against the Devils. I mean, it was a horrible game for him against the Devils. But I thought he played well against Philadelphia. I thought he played pretty well against the Rangers. But it's the one mistake that you make that ends up in your net that you can't make. And right now, when this team is going through this goal scoring funk, and Aho's a part of it, and obviously Staal is a part of it, when you're going through a goal scoring funk, then you can't afford the other mistakes. He has made too many of those. And again, -9, I know plus minus can be so misleading. And frankly, you know, he's on obviously on the ice for all four Ottawa goals. But I don't know that any of the first, three of them were his fault. Or maybe none of them were his fault, really.
He was a point per game over the last 10 games before last night too. So, you know, there's some, put whatever stock you want into that, because it doesn't necessarily mean he's put a point on the board every single game he's played. So when I look at that, I think, I was not as bad as I thought he was, I guess. But I still think there's another level to get to. But hey, by the way, how in the world, Adam, did the Hurricanes lose after Ryan Dzingel dropped the gloves in the first period? What happened there? He dropped the gloves, and then Ottawa scored three goals after that. So I'm wondering here where the bench getting fired up was. What did he not prove something to his teammates there? I mean, what happened?
Well, if I flipped it, I could say that Ottawa got fired up with Namestnikov fighting.
Right. Maybe they did.
I'm with you on the larger point on fighting in hockey, but I am a fan of fighting out of anger. And it was clear that Dzingel took offense at Namestnikov coming up high with his stick and getting into the neck. So those fights I'm okay with.
That wasn't a stick up for someone situation.
Right.
Although I do think that Dzingel caught him by surprise. I don't think Namestnikov was really ready to go. But listen, man, hey, Dzingel's got some technique. I was kind of impressed, actually. I don't know if you've ever heard of this, but I did wrestle one year when I was in high school, and at the very end, the little jap down, that's what we call that move, where he just basically, you know, snaps the guy down to the ice. That was a nice little move from Dzingel. I was actually kind of impressed with it.
He got 2 points, I think, for a takedown. You get 2 points for a takedown, right?
Yeah, two for a takedown, for sure.
Very nice.
That was nice.
But I think we all saw him needing ice in the penalty box, and we don't need Ryan Dzingel to get hurt, which is another reason why we don't want guys to fight, especially guys who's supposed to score goals.
Right, and he's another guy now that I think like 7 games without a goal. So not good.
No, they need a wise man once said the singers and dancers need to be singers and dancers. And right now the only one who really is Svechnikov. And even he's played some curious games defensively that Rod Brind'Amour, I think if you look at ice time, it gets reflected in that. So when you see Svechnikov down around 13 minutes of ice time, that's Rod saying, you sit here by me for a little bit. All right, well, maybe this thing will all rectify itself at home against Ottawa, and then they go on the road for 3. Maybe the Hurricanes just need to play better competition, because it hasn't gone well against teams that are not inside the playoff line, where I think they have like 6 of their 8 losses are to teams that are not inside the playoff line right now. And those are the types of things that you look back on and go, how did we lose all those points?
Right. Well, remember we were talking about, I think I brought this point up at one point, that the Hurricanes hadn't lost a game that they shouldn't have lost.
Right.
You know, I made the argument that Columbus, okay, whatever, that's a tough team to play, even though, you know, they lost all those players in the offseason or whatever. But until they got to, I think, what was the beginning of this stretch? New Jersey, I think.
Yeah.
You know, that was the first game I thought that they lost a game they shouldn't have. And now all of a sudden they've lost 4 in a row that theoretically they shouldn't have lost, unless this Hurricanes team isn't very good after all.
I mean, my prediction at the beginning of the season was 95 points in the East would make the playoffs. And my closing line was, I hope they can get to 95. Right now they're on a 92-point pace. Remember, right. The days of 116-point pace are over. They're on a 92-point pace, and now they're starting to give up goals. But at least they didn't give up a power play goal. So that's good, ending the four-game stretch of allowing a power play goal.
Yeah, and they got a power play goal.
They did.
Which was the first one in a couple of games. So.
All right. Alec Campbell, you're the man. I'll see you at the rink tomorrow for Ottawa.
All right, Adam. Later, man.
And there you go. Here's the stretch. Ottawa, and then a road trip to Buffalo, Minnesota, Chicago. Hurricanes need some wins. They need to play a clean hockey game. Last really clean game they played, start to finish. Calgary? Seems like a long time ago. All right, everybody. We'll do this again. I hope your Sunday's going well.
You've been listening to the Canes Corner Podcast with Adam Gold. Don't forget there are many ways you can listen to this podcast, including streaming at WRALSportsFan.com, the WRAL SportsFan app, and you can also subscribe for free at Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, Pocket Casts, and TuneIn. Thanks again for listening to the Canes Corner Podcast.